How's it going, everyone? It is one of your favorite apostates, McKay. You might be missing my normal co-star, Jordan, who also happens to be my wonderful wife. However, she is off doing her day job, and I am putting this together, so it's just going to be me for right now. Just to preface this is a clip that I took from last week's stream, because obviously the streams, they don't get as many people. It's something that we just love to do. It's kind of like a little passion project of ours, and we love all the people who come and stream with us. We do so every Tuesday night, so come and hang out if you would like. We are always doing crazy stuff. But because that does get fewer views, and I didn't want to get this kind of topic buried, I wanted to go ahead and edit some of it down and throw it up for the broader audience to see. So without further ado, I'm going to let us take it away, and I'll see you in a second. Anyway, there's been some pretty big situations going on as far as the Mormon Church is concerned out in Australia. This has kind of been an ongoing situation, I guess, that's been developing. I remember hearing about it for the first time like last year. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can change the font size. And it was just such a strange thing, especially in Mormonism. Like, I can tell that they are trying to keep things under wraps like a lot, because this shit would absolutely break my shelf if I knew about it and how they were doing shit like this, because it is like dishonesty on a whole different level. So we can go through this just real quick.
Now, the Mormon Church is nothing is new about the Mormon Church committing fraud.
No.
This has been going on for a long time. But Australia...
Literally since the beginning.
Yes. But Australia has been a little more, like, liberal in their push to kind of confront them about this kind of behavior. Whereas the U.S., we just don't really care.
Here in the United States, because of the First Amendment, organizations like this abuse the First Amendment, because it essentially gives you all these exemptions and privileges that can't be refuted because of the constitutional right of freedom of religion and what have you. But it seems that in other places that might not be so liberal, which in my opinion can be a good thing. Obviously, people should still have their freedom, but it shouldn't mean that they get any sort of special privilege. So anyway, let's just read into this real quick. The Mormon Church is significantly reducing its use of a controversial shell company after an investigation revealed it had engaged in alleged serious tax evasion in Australia. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, commonly known as the Mormons, set up a tax structure in 2012 that allowed its adherents in Australia to accumulate exemptions worth hundreds of millions of dollars that are not lawfully available to followers of other religions. The investigation by this masthead in April 2022 found some of its tax activities could be in breach of Australian tax laws. Now the Latter-day Saints Church, which has repeatedly said it complies with tax laws, has moved to unwind the tax structure.
Boo.
Now, the first thing, I mean, the hit dog hollers, right? This is like, oh, you guys are being accused of tax fraud for using this shell corporation. And then they're like, okay, we're not going to use this shell corporation very much anymore because you guys accused us of tax fraud. Like, I mean, it is what it is, and you guys are just kind of like, yep, this is bad. So now that we've gotten caught, we're going to roll it back. In Australia, the church has ensured that donations and tithing, neither of which are tax deductible, are routed through a charitable trust to gain 100% tax deductibility. Mormons are required to pay 10% of their gross income in an income deducting practice known as tithing, a significant financial impost on followers. I've never heard the word impost in English, but luckily because of Spanish and context, I know what it means.
Do you want me to read the rest?
Go for it.
Australia is unusual among English-speaking countries in that it does not allow tax deductions for tithing church donations, which is interesting compared to the U.S.
where yeah, that like when we were Mormons, that was 100% of our charitable giving in a year that we claimed on our taxes. Mm-hmm. We did not normally donate to any sort of other charitable cause. That was all of our donations.
But it does allow generous deductibility for charitable giving. The use of the Sydney-based LDS Charities Australia, which has no paid staff, ramped up in recent years. The shell company received $90 million in donations in 2021. That fell to just $30 million in 2022. It was in April that year that the charity first came under scrutiny for its tax practices. A church spokesman did not directly answer questions. Shocking, about the fallen donations, but said adherents continue to generously donate through paying tithes and other offerings. So they're giving us money, but not like that.
Yeah.
These funds are utilized in accordance with relevant laws and regulations, he says. Former Mormon Bishop Dr. Simon Southerton, who made the initial complaint about the church's tax practices to the charity's regulator, said the shift in Australia was important. It comes several months after the U.S. Securities and Exchange SEC Commission settled a case against the Mormon-run Ensign Peak Advisors and the church for $5 million after it failed over a 22-year period to disclose its investments and hid its assets via a network of shell companies. Now, they had to pay $5 million out of their $100 billion bank account. Like, $100 billion
is such a low, low, low estimate of what it's worth now. Can you imagine forgetting to pay your taxes for 22 years? And they're not even paying taxes. They're just not talking, or they're, well, they should be paying taxes, really. Because this is income that's generated from gains and shit like that, and investments. But can you imagine not paying for your taxes for 22 years and not even receiving a 1% slap on the wrist? Like, that's fucking crazy. So crazy.
One has to hope that this signals the beginning of Australian regulatory authorities taking action in respect of the $400 million that the church has been engaged in at the expense of the Australian taxpayer. In 2019, the Australian Taxation Office made a binding ruling that for a charity to have deductible gift recipient status, which allows tax write-offs for donors, it must have Australia as the focal point in a legal or organizational sense. Yet, LDS Charities Australia has no paid staff and financial reports for the Utah-based Latter-day Saint Charities. Obtained by this dude last October, confirm it is the legal entity that employs and pays staff for the church's global charitable operation, including in Australia. A church spokesman has previously said the Utah-based charity identified and referred charitable projects to LDS Charities Australia, but maintained local volunteers and made the decisions on which projects were funded. So basically, they're just lying about being involved in Australia.
They're throwing other people under the bus because they have to protect the greater good.
Until 2020, filings with the charity's regulators stated that the LDS Charities Australia just had four local volunteers to run what purported to be one of the biggest charities in the country. In 2022, it claimed it had 15 volunteers. The biggest charitable organization in the country has four employees.
Isn't that crazy? Can you imagine
working for a nonprofit that pulls in, what nonprofit pulls in billions in revenue?
Right.
I don't know if there is one that does. Maybe. But billions in revenue and have four fucking employees. The most mismanaged nonprofits I know have more employees than that.
Four employees were managing to commit hundreds of millions of dollars of tax fraud.
Oh, like, my God.
Are you for real?
The tax structure in Australia has meant that since 2015, adherents have been able to draw on $450 million in tax deductions not available to followers of other religions or denominations. Interesting. The church has previously reported that it spends up to 70% of its Australian income on charity. Globally, the church spends as little as 0.3% of its revenue on charity.
Dude, this is fucking going in on the church.
The church that has hundreds of billions of dollars that they could use towards whatever the fuck they wanted spends 0.3% of that on charity. But they're the most charitable organization in the world.
Anyway, crazy.
The Australian Taxation Office said it could not comment on the tax affairs of any individual or entity due to the law, obviously. In Senate estimates last November, Tax Office Assistant Commissioner Jeremy Hirshhorn said in response to a question from Green Senator David Shoebridge that the ATO was very aware of those allegations against the Mormon Church. Well, I would fucking hope so. Due to taxpayer secrecy, I cannot confirm or deny whether an investigation is taking place. I'll say as a general proposition, not talking about the specific taxpayer, that we do not view tithing as a gift because a gift must be unconditional. Tithing, therefore, is not eligible for deductibility. Oof.
That is a big oof.
That is a big oof. A gift must be unconditional. God, if I was Mormon leadership, I would be like rolling over right now. What the?
That is like the biggest dig of all time.
It is. The exposure of the church's tax practices in Australia led to a broader joint investigation involving 60 Minutes and the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation that uncovered tax minimization by the Mormon Church in other countries, including Canada and the United States. This method also revealed last October that the International Mormon Church had dramatically overstated its global charitable giving by more than $1 billion between 2018 to 2020 to make itself appear far more generous than it is.
Oh my God. The Sydney Morning Herald.
That's right, folks.
These are my new fucking heroes.
The extent of Mormon's charity overstatement was uncovered in 15 years of previously unreleased financial reports.
I wonder why they were unreleased.
A Washington Post investigation in 2020 revealed the church was secretly running a $100 billion investment fund called Ensign Peak that was accumulating vast tax-free wealth by investing in hedge funds such as Chevron, Visa, Apple, and some of the biggest land holdings in the United States. That's right, folks. $100 billion tax-free, baby. Tax-free.
Incredible. Incredible behavior from the Mormons out in Australia. Holy shit.
With a very disappointing 0.3% overall spent on charitable giving.
Yeah.
Now, is that, let's say, for the Mormons that are going to come and have a fizzy, hissy fit in the comments, is that still a lot? Probably more than a lot of organizations are willing to give.
Yeah.
Sure. No doubt.
For sure.
We're not going to hate on any money being donated to charity. However, yeah,
that's
to say,
usually the oh, you guys just hate charity.
No.
Because I know that it's not being used for charitable giving.
No.
You think that it's being used for charitable giving, but by and large, it's being invested to hoard wealth. That's it.
And am I happy about the 0.3? Absolutely. Absolutely. We love the 0.3. Yeah. Keep doing that. However, to be like it, broadcasting yourself as like the most honorable, charitable, we just give all our money to charity, like we have all this money, but they give it all away, like all that bullshit to give away 0.3%. Like, who are we talking about? Because I don't think it's you for being the most charitable organization. Neither here nor there. But yeah, I mean, people have talked about Mormonism solving world hunger with all that money, right? Like Mormon Church Fund. $30 billion to solve world hunger for a year. And they have $100 billion. So by that logic, they could solve world hunger for a year. And that is a disappointing amount of money. Disappointing amount of money that they're just going to keep in there and continue to generate revenue.
Right.
Like all the stuff with GameStop, they participated in all that nonsense.
Yep. Tesla. And the squeeze, they're invested in Tesla. Any company that they decry or would be against their principles, like Victoria's Secret, they invest in that.
Mm-hmm. In caffeine companies.
Anything, Coke, anything that will get them money.
They don't care.
Yeah. If Starbucks is on the rise, you better believe that they're bought into Starbucks.
They do not care.
So a couple things I wanted to bring up. Here are the Temple Recommend interview questions. These were updated in January 2020.
They're notice currently actively
number
used.
9. Do you strive to be honest in all that you do? I don't know. Sounds like all of the Australia church leadership probably would say no to that. And then the one immediately following, are you a full tithe payer, baby? Just so fucking corny. Just to be even more thorough in this, I'm going to pull up the Articles of Faith, which are 12 tenets of the beliefs of Mormonism. 13. Yeah. As penned by Joseph Smith in a letter and adopted as canon scripture sometime since then.
Follow the Prophet. Profit, indeed.
Yeah, Profit for sure. What is with this?
Learn with the missionaries.
LOL. It's like an ad right in the middle.
Of course. Targeted marketing.
You go, oh, let's check out the Articles of Faith. This is churchofjesuschrist.org, which is kind of their missionary website. You've got the first four, and then boom, ad.
Ad.
Hey, yo, sell your information to us, and we'll send you some missionaries. All right, let's see. 12 and 13 we'll bring up. We believe in being subject to kings, presidents, rulers, and magistrates in obeying, honoring, and sustaining the law. Maybe we should add an addendum. Unless the law we don't like and there's a loophole available, then we believe that you should exploit that loophole, especially when it comes to
now,
money.
Mind you, these articles of faith here are things that you memorize as youth.
As a child. This is like the Pledge of Allegiance.
I learned these when I was probably in third or fourth grade, I would say.
Yeah.
Probably. But you have to memorize all of these, and it's kind of like a checklist. Like, you have to... Usually they reward you with something once you, like, yeah, each one you cross off. But we had to... I memorized all these. Honest, chaste, true, benevolent, virtue. Like, all of this stuff is still in my head to some degree.
Cream. Yep. Mormonism knows all about Wu-Tang. Cash rules everything around me. And then number three, we believe in being honest. True. These ones don't really apply, but...
Chaste, benevolent, and virtuous. Benevolent.
Yep.
Doing good to all men.
Doing good to all men.
Admonition of Paul. We believe all things, hope all things, have endured many things, and hope to be able to endure all things. If there's anything virtuous, lovely, or of good report, or praiseworthy, we seek after those things. So hoarding money doesn't sound like we're seeking after those things.
I was going to say, what does exploiting tax loopholes, what does that fall under? Is that praiseworthy? If you're a finance guy, that would definitely be praiseworthy.
$100 billion is good report. Yeah, that is right?
That's a whole lot of cheddar if you're asking me. Lovely, I don't know, that amount of wealth is kind of disgusting to me. Virtuous, I would not consider that virtuous. Of good report, it definitely is of good report to the shareholders, or the members, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
Even though they really don't know about it, so they're really holding out on the good news.
Well, that article about the $100 billion Enside peak fund didn't come out until 2020. So it was kind of like, it was widely known that the Mormon Church had an investment arm that they used to invest money in, because that's been controversial in the past. But until that 2020 article came out, we had no idea just how much money. And that was right around the time that we left the church. And so that was a big deal when that came out. That shook a lot of people.
Yeah, that was...
But they have the easy justification of nobody takes the time to actually look at, well, the church only invests 0.3% of revenue, and people are like, well, all that money gets donated. All of it gets donated. And, like, you can't argue with that because they don't care. Just as in with other things. Well, they don't care.
They just don't know a lot of these things. Like, they don't... If members truly know how much fucking land the church owns, land that's not being used for like building up of actual churches or temples and things like that, I think by and large people would be really confused as to why they're the biggest landowner in the state of Florida and none of that is even accounting for churches or temples and welfare things like of that nature.
Well, and ranches. I mean, they own...
Yeah, ranches are crazy.
Ranches on ranches. I think they own the biggest ranch in the United States, don't they?
They own office buildings that they lease out to defense contractors. I know for a fact there's a massive building in Texas that is home to Raytheon.
Oh, there you go. Across America, subsidiaries of the Mormon Church reportedly hold 1 million acres of agricultural land. Oh, wait, no. It was updated in 2.3 million acres, including private land.
Oh, that was in April that they updated that. Dang, we might have to... 630,000
acres of Florida, and that isn't an eighth of what the federal government owns in Florida.
Holy shit.
The Mormon Church owns more land in Florida than the own fucking Florida government does. Yeah. Oh my and they, God.
They probably don't even own any of the good shit. Like the Fed probably owns mostly like swamp land and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
And at least the church is owning like usable land.
Well, and then they recently, Mormon Leaks, the Truth and Transparency Foundation, then linked like a whole database of all the things that the church owns. I think we talked about it at least once.
Yeah, we've brought it up before. But there's
some wild shit in there, like all kinds of stuff. Like it even lists it out by, like they made a little map of it.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one where we looked at the whole spreadsheet? I don't know the last time that was updated. Maybe it'd be worth looking at again. It's fucking nauseating. Looking at that, like you can just scroll and scroll and scroll, and that's only stuff that is owned in the United States. They don't necessarily have all the information for all the property that the church owns across the world, because in a lot of places you probably really couldn't get that information all in one spot.
I don't know what it is about Florida, but the biggest ranch I believe is in Florida, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I think it's the biggest
one. They have a cattle ranch there.
Yeah, Deseret Ranch. This Deseret Ranch, the ranch that the Mormons own, is 10 times larger than Disney World. I'm sorry.
Dude, oh my I'm God. Sorry. Wait. Go back up. Send me this. I want to just illustrate.
The church purchased this land in 1950.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Just the value of the land alone is probably increased.
According now, the church has more than 44,000 head of cattle and a workforce of more than 90 ranchers and their families. And
I like that little illustration. Where's the map? Oh, it's right there.
Scroll past it.
It hadn't loaded yet. Here you guys go. This is fucking crazy, dude. Y'all. I don't know who all has been to Florida before. But just, I think this is all of Orlando proper. It's like most of the size of Orlando. That's insane, dude. Just, and that's what it, I mean, how old is this little article? Oh, it was pretty recently updated, so that's good to know. We love it when publications update their shit regularly. Shout out.
Yeah, so Deseret Ranch in Florida is the largest cattle ranch in the United States.
Owned by the Mormons.
290,000 acres.
Yeah.
Since the 1950s. I mean, they must have bought, it would have been expensive then, but it would be chump change compared to now.
Yeah, easily.
And that just isn't.
And that's like, people want to buy that land, I would imagine.
300,000 acres, yeah. And then 90, yeah, that's what I thought. So people live, like the ranchers live on the land.
Yeah.
So they pay those people, hopefully, I would hope, a living wage. And the church, like other financial details, does not disclose the revenue or valuation of the ranch.
Of course. So yeah, if you're not, ooh, tax the churches, if you're not going to do that, at least make, require their tax, require that their tax exempt status be contingent upon their thorough record releasing, so that everybody knows where the money is going, and that it, knowing that it's not going to shell companies or into an investment fund so that they can buy more stock and fucking GameStop.
So
that's crazy.
In 1997, they were able to estimate that the land was worth an estimated $858 million just on that alone. But here's the other thing. In 2000, they moved 16 million pounds of calves, according to Wikipedia, which then translated to about $16 million in revenue just off of that alone. And then, even better, it brings in revenue from mining of native shell beds, orange nice. Groves, hunting permits, and sales of ornamental palm trees.
Damn, where I want to get me one of those fucking ornamental Mormon palm trees.
And then in 2011, they fought and won control over some of the water, and then was planning on selling it to another city in Florida, but it doesn't look like that happened.
Oh, in Cocoa.
Yeah.
Cocoa Beach, shout out.
So this is just like one tiny tidbit of up shit that the Mormon Church does under the radar.
They own multiple square blocks of land in Salt Lake City downtown.
They practically own downtown Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing. Office buildings, like things that have the whole mall. Tithing dollars built the mall. Like there's nothing
trying to think just how much property that is alone, because that central square area, it's probably like 8 square blocks of just solid all their land. And then I was thinking about this when I was in the shower earlier. I was remembering back to my mission. If you don't know, it's changed a little bit nowadays. I'm pretty sure you pay proportional to the destination that you end up getting assigned to. But back when I was a missionary, you paid $400 a month to the church, and the church kind of put that all into a pot and reappropriated the funds depending on where everybody was going. So obviously paying for rent in Paris is going to be a whole different ball game from paying the rent for my apartment in Choluteca, Honduras. So you would get basically like luckily the mission office, they would like do the rent situation for us and everything like that. But every 2 weeks they would give us a deposit of money in our own bank account that we could withdraw from an ATM. And you would use that to like buy the things that you needed. In some places it was enough. In other places it wasn't. They were just hoping that the members there would just feed you and stuff like that in a lot of cases. But I remember when I was finishing, I was in an area where I was able to like accumulate extra, and I was like, this is fucking dope, because I'm just going to buy a bunch of like mementos and stuff like that. And they were going so hard. Like, those are sacred funds. They're consecrated for missionary work and to sustain the missionaries, and the use of these funds for anything other than food and necessities is basically sin. It's dishonest. And any funds that you have that are surplus, you should return those at the end of your mission. And even I was like, bro, this is money that my parents are paying to the church, and the church is giving me, and it's much less than what my parents are paying to the church. I'm gonna get me some fucking little tchotchkes and shit like that for my family who is paying for this. I couldn't believe that they were, even at that time, I was like, this is so dumb that they, for like an insignificant amount of money, are being so stingy and weird. So I was just thinking about that in the shower. I totally forgot about it. I was like, that's crazy that they're just hoarding wealth like this and doing like these illegal tax loopholes. Not illegal, but they're tax loopholes, and they still are just like nickel and diming people over nothing.
It's astounding what the Mormons own.
Astounding is the fucking.
It truly is. I mean, every time we've looked at that spreadsheet, we're like, what the fuck is this? And what is this for? And why do they have this? And where, like, the dumbest shit that you could possibly imagine, they have it. Fun fact, I have tea that Ruby and Kevin's house was actually owned by the Mormon Church before they bought it.
Didn't it sell for much lower than...
I don't remember.
At one point it did.
I don't know that for sure, so I won't say that. But it was Ruby and Kevin bought it from the Mormon Church. So whoever... Mormon Church swooped in and bought it from whoever had it before them. But then Ruby and Kevin bought it from them, which is very interesting.
Really interesting.
Not the current house they're in right now, the one before. Anyways, yeah, this is all stuff that I had no real knowledge of until we left.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about the funding. I didn't know anything about the revenue investments. If you would have asked me what Ensign Pink was, I would have said, is that a church office building? Like, what the hell is that?
Or is that a place in one of the mountains on the Wasatch Front or something like that?
Like, so. It's that in the damn vault. Yeah. Like, we haven't talked about the vault enough either.
The devil is in the details. When that whistleblower article was released in 2019 talking about the just sheer size of the Ensign Peak Fund. Their defense was, we were afraid that if the membership knew how much money was invested in this portfolio, they would stop giving tithing.
Yep.
That's I don't know why they thought that was the fucking defense to go with, but I cannot believe that that is the one that they chose. Unbelievable.
The other thing that we haven't really talked about, we've mentioned this with influencers before, but we, like, we've talked about how a lot of Mormons moved to Hawaii, like Big Island, Hawaii, and there's a lot of draw there because there is a Mormon, there is a temple on the main island, and I forget just how much there is on the main island that is owned by the Mormon Church, including one of the biggest real estate companies, the, I don't know how to pronounce it, really? L-A-I-E, is that how you pronounce it?
I know for a fact that it is not that, but I don't know the correct pronunciation.
I don't know what the correct pronunciation on it is. You guys know what I'm talking about, but they own that city's water company that provides water to the entire city.
Now, why would they need that?
To the entire city.
Why does a church need to own water, a water company?
They own their 72,000 square foot shopping center, their cemetery, two of their parks, and then a bunch of other commercial and residential properties. I mean, the list for Utah is insane. It's like on Hawaii, though, like just colonization 101. Yeah.
The colonizers are here.
But this is just the tip of the fucking iceberg.
And they also own the BYU Hawaii, which is like right next door to that temple.
Yup.
Oh, that's probably why they wanted to get some extra benefits. Anyway, yeah, if you guys, I mean, the rabbit hole is deep on this one. And this isn't even the only thing. Very recently as well in Canada, there have been investigations into the church using BYU as a donation recipient in order to move funds across the border without getting taxed. So that's really interesting.
The church also
I don't know what came of that. It might still be under investigation.
The church owns Bonneville International. Like, there's been some people who have, like, DM'd us in the past that are like, I was listening to my radio station and they said something about Bonneville International.
Yeah, Zions Bank.
Like,
I've heard Zions Bank. Oh, no, it was a different company. But
just
it was
in Colorado, there's a few. Like, if you're from Denver, Cozy 101 is owned by Bonneville International.
What's the country music? The big one here.
KYGO.
Yeah, KYGO is also owned by Bonneville International. There's a couple places in Arizona and Nevada that radio stations that are also owned by Bonneville International.
LOL, there's an FAQ on this website asking if the Mormon Church owns Costco. It does
Ain't
not.
No fucking way that would be owned by Costco. They could own Costco. Costco's too pure. $5 rotisserie chicken? Crazy.
It's just, oh yeah, there it is.
Here we go.
I was hoping
KYGO.
KYGO, FM 100.3,
97.3.
Oh, here we go. Now we have a list.
Oh, in Washington, too.
We got Seattle. We got Phoenix. We got Denver. Yeah, all kinds of stuff. Looks like some in here servicing Hawaii. Yeah, look at that. All these. Lots in Denver. If you're in Seattle or Phoenix, let me know. And I'll tell you what they are.
LMK. Anyway.
But anyway, that was a whole tangent.
A whole ass tangent. Anyway. That is that. The rabbit hole goes so deep. And we could talk for this on this subject for forever.
Totally.
But
I mean, we haven't even gone through it. I'm sure if we sat down with the spreadsheet and really started looking at things, it would blow your mind. We could probably do a whole last series on it, to be honest.
Yeah. Places that you didn't know were owned by the Mormon Church. Oof. Number one, Florida.
Florida. No wonder it's a fucking hellscape down there.
Thank you to each and every one of you that has stuck around. This is an important topic to us, so we wanted to make sure that everybody had the chance to be able to hear it. Even if it was a second time for a lot of you, if this is the kind of stuff that you would like to see more of, you can go ahead and hit that subscribe button or save the podcast that you're listening to right now. If you'd like to join and be a member of the channel or support us on Patreon, it's the same thing on both sides. You can go to the Patreon link in the description, or right next to where you should have just subscribed, you can hit that become a member button and you can support us in that same way, just right here on YouTube. Also, if you would like to follow us on social media, you can find us at Jordan and McKay on basically any social media site. You can find us on Insta and TikTok specifically, and now Threads. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. We also have a super cool Discord channel, which you can find the invite to in the description of this video. And yeah, it's a lot of fun and super cool and awesome. So thanks for bearing with us. We had to do something a little light this week because it is my birthday this week, and damn it, usually when we're missing out on stuff, it's because we're busy. So I wanted it to have, wanted a little bit for me. Anyway, we love you all and we hope to see you soon.